Hey guys, welcome back to the second episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Bowman. Glad to be here with you guys.
We got a lot of news to talk about today. We had that big old Nintendo Direct. Yep, they announced Okami HD. That's what everyone's talking about.
Yeah, it's a big hot game.
No, but really, we got a new Smash Brothers and a few other gems coming out. So without further ado, we'll get right into it.
All right, so Nintendo Direct was, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I give it a solid, if I had to give it a rating, I give it a solid Nintendo 8 out of 10.
I was at Disney for the day, and I rushed home, popped myself up some popcorn, and I'm not joking, and I sat and watched it, and you know, it was fun. I wasn't as impressed as other people were, but they're mainly because the things I was most excited for had already been announced.
Yeah.
Without going into it too much before our discussion, the thing that I'm most excited about that I saw was Octopath Traveler, and that's already been announced for a long time. So
yeah, no, that game's going to be awesome. I've already played the demo, and everything I've played from it, I really enjoy. And this game's coming out like in a good time for me because I'm in a big JRPG kick right now. And the gameplay is just very innovative, but also very reminiscent of old 2D JRPGs. And it pulls it off really well so far from the demo. So
it looks amazing.
Yeah. And I guess they went ahead and confirmed that Octopath Traveler is the confirmed title now. Before, that was just working title Octopath. But it looks like that's actually the confirmed title now.
That's a stupid name.
Kind of silly. People online really liked the name, and I thought it was just, it feels like a placeholder.
It's a day one purchase for me, and I can say with confidence it's a stupid fucking name, and I think it will definitely end up hurting the sales. In history, in game sales, a dumb name like that always ends up hurting the sales in the long run. That's not a game. Octopath Traveler is not a game that a kid sees on the shelf and goes, oh, that sounds cool, and picks it up with his birthday money or whatever. That's not going to happen. So you kind of take the random element, I think, out of that, and it's just going to be hardcore people buying it.
Yeah. Other things that were announced were just a whole lot of ports. Lots and lots of ports. We got Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, which that was rumored for a while, so that wasn't a huge shock, but definitely welcomed. I haven't actually purchased this game at all yet, so I'm actually going to be playing it on my Switch now.
So I'm a little history about me. I didn't have an N64 or Saturn. I was a PS1 boy, and Crash Bandicoot Trilogy was my jam, and I dumped so many hours into that game growing up, and when the trilogy came out, I bought it day one and 100% at all the games, got all the gems, all the crystals, all the time trials. So, you know, people fall into this this pitfall with the Switch, where people like me, who I almost never play it portably, but having the option there, it's like Nintendo's tricked the psyche of consumers into being like, well, you know, you might play it portably, and that's where I'm always at. So I'll probably end up getting it, even though,
oh, you're going to double dip.
I already own it, and I've already beaten it, and I'll probably get it, like, with that little voice in the back of my head that's like, but you can play it portably. And I probably never will, but I'll get it anyway. Same reason why I'm getting Dark Souls on the Switch, which they also talked a little bit about, but I own Dark Souls on 2-3 platforms, and even though the Switch for the new remaster, even though the Switch is like the weakest one and it's not probably going to be that remastered, that's the one I'm getting it on, because that voice in the back of my head is like, you can play it portably, even though I probably never will.
You can play it on the go.
Yeah, so On the topic of Dark Souls, they did announce a new amiibo.
Praise the sun.
Yeah, Solaire of Astoria. By the looks of it, it doesn't do anything. So
apparently you get to do the Praise the Sun maneuver?
Yeah, but you could do that anyway without... Yeah, that's just a gesture in the game already. But I guess this lets you do it without completing that quest.
Seems worth it.
I mean, I'm getting it. I'm a Dark Souls fanatic, so I will be getting that amiibo. It'll be the first... Well, I said I was going to get the Pikmin amiibo. I never got around to it. So
yeah, you'll find it for like $5.
Hopefully.
Really? Is that one pretty sought after now?
What, the Pikmin one? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the Solaire, but no, I'm talking about the new one, the one with for the Hey Pikmin game for 3DS.
Oh, okay, okay.
They had a really nice, it almost looked like claymation or something with all the Pikmin like playing together or whatever on an amiibo.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. So I will get that one eventually, but I'll get this Dark Souls one. How can I not? You know?
Yeah, I never care about the features they add anymore because that's not the reason you buy them. You just buy and put them on your shelf.
So here's a little story about Bowman is he's never played a Dark Souls game.
I've sort of dipped my toe into Dark Souls 2 for a moment and then quickly felt a little hot, so I right away ran out of the pool. But I definitely want
to This will be the perfect opportunity to get around to playing it finally. So if you're listening out there, make sure you pressure Bowman, comment on the video, tweet at him, and tell him, play Dark Souls, pussy.
Hashtag play Dark Souls, pussy. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, Captain Toad Treasure Track was pretty cool, but I've just... The little voice in my head is quiet on that one. I'm all right. Because I already have it on the Wii U. I still have not played the Wii U one at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not really, like, got to buy it on the Switch.
I'm really... I feel like it's a coin flip. I feel like if I see this thing for less than $20, one day I'll get it.
Well, yeah.
But I also have it on the Wii U. The problem is that I don't ever want to have to play my Wii U again. And they're making that a very valid possibility. So... You know, honestly, if I ever get the hankering for playing Captain Toad, I might go out and buy the Switch version because I hate playing my Wii U. So, you know, the last time I went and played it, I think I might have mentioned this the last podcast. The last time I played it, I went to go pull it out and the cable had come unplugged in the back. So the tablet was dead. And then I had to switch the sensor bar location and the settings, but you can't access the settings without the tablet. So I had to like go behind my entertainment center and find out where it had been unplugged, plug it back in, charge it for a minute, load up the tablet, all to change a single setting and before I could play a game.
I mean, I agree. Like they definitely should have updated that, but I guess
so.
Whatever.
So if I can avoid ever using it again, then I probably will, and this is one of those scenarios, but it's not under any circumstance going to be a day one purchase for me.
I guess we'll just keep coming through the ports for now. South Park, the fractured butt hole.
Right.
They really tried not to say it too fast, if you noticed that in direct. He went, South Park, the fractured butt hole. Like, he really did not want to make that pun. But you can't avoid it. But
that's a big game. But I feel like this is the issue with the Switch is anyone who owns another console that wanted to play that game,
they already played it by now. Yeah.
So it's a problem that they're dealing with where the game didn't come out that long ago, and if it was in development, they should have just sped it up, put some more assets or put some more effort into it, and get it done. So it came out the same day.
I think we had people who were developers specifically who were skeptical about the Switch for a while, so I don't think they really put any effort into making these games launch alongside the Switch now. I think now they clearly see that the Switch is a viable thing to develop for. So I think year three mostly we're gonna start seeing those third party games really launch alongside it.
My thoughts are when we're talking about third-party ports and stuff, how long, though, can they do that for? The system is so weak. The Doom port, which is of a two-year-old game now, was a huge step down from, like, the PS4 version stuff. What's it going to be like trying to port over a game in 2020, you know, onto the system where you've had 4 years on Doom, and Doom was already basically, as far as its assets and graphics, cut in half. You know, the resolution, I think, in the portable handheld mode is like 540p or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, we might see more developers come up with teams to be able to develop games that are just less powered and can be put on the Switch. So
more Rabbids games, hopefully.
Yeah, I really hope for that. Can't even say that with a straight face. Well, moving on to the next port here, Akami HD. That's going to be cool. The thing is, Akami HD has been ported like 1,000 times at this point. I think I have it on my PS3 digitally for free.
It's Capcom
from a Humble Bundle. So it's whatever to me. I actually still have never played Akami HD. I don't see myself going out, because I actually agree with you. I don't agree with you fully on the port issue on Switch, but I agree with you on the point that when a port comes out later on, it's full price.
Yeah.
And Akami HD, I can go on Amazon right now and buy it for $20, and I'm sure it's going to be like, it's got to be at least $40 to $50 when it comes out on Switch. So I'm not touching it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I haven't played it. I think I played it a little bit when it came out originally, and or on the Wii or whatever, and I never got into it. It seems like a really long game for what it is. I always thought it was like a 10-hour game, and then someone mentioned to me the other day, no, Akami's like 40-plus hours, and I played a little bit of that game, and I don't see being able to play for 40 hours or more.
It is currently $16 on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly. And if you got the... That's how much it was with the discount when it first came out. So, yeah, I mean, it's more games for the Switch.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
You know, we talked a little bit about it, but I really am really excited for Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
If you haven't heard anything about this game, and you've ever enjoyed turn-based RPG, specifically one from like the 16-bit era, you need to look at this game. This game possibly could be the best-looking Switch game, which sounds ridiculous because it's kind of like pixel graphics, but the way that they've done the art style with the lighting and the backgrounds and stuff, I mean, it looks like someone took 8 or 16-bit JRPG characters and put them in front of like an amazing painting,
yeah,
or something. It's not just the art style. I love RPGs with like, I'm a total nerd when it comes to like micromanaging and like statistics and stuff. That's what I love with my games. So the thing that really excited me at the Direct was when they announced that there's going to be a jobs system, because Square Enix, so same team that made, well, I don't know about the team, but same company that made Final Fantasy Tactics. And the thing that I love so much about Final Fantasy Tactics is the characters all have a job system, and certain creatures can only work certain jobs. So you can't make like a human a monk. Only the like lizard characters can be monks. And when you give a character a job and they complete enough of the job, they learn new skills. So when you complete the job completely, it splits and you get to choose which direction you want to go with. It opens new jobs up. So, and the skills that you've learned stick with you. So you have like a certain allotment of skills you can equip, and you can equip job skills for jobs that you're no longer part of. Like it's way back, you pass it. So you can be like a white mage who also has like black mage skills from a while back that you learned. And
yeah,
so you can be like a healer and someone who can cast like thunder and stuff. So that takes a lot of like micromanaging, because I don't know how it is with this one, but in Final Fantasy Tactics, it was all tied to the weapons and equipment that you had. So you had an equipment on that only a certain job could use. And as the longer you use that equipment, you would learn the skill that was tied to that equipment. And once you were done learning the skill, you basically toss the weapon away, buy a new one that has a new skill attached to it. And those skills that you learned with the equipment stay with you. So it was a constant stream. And this is, I like this stuff. I could see a lot of people not liking it, but it was a constant stream of like switching equipment out and switching jobs. It's all like micromanaging stats and stuff, and I love that type of thing. So
yeah, no, I think a big part of this game is like the skill aspect already, even outside of battle, because characters can already have use. One character can persuade certain characters to join them. One character can find out, can interrogate information about certain things. And the thing about this, it's not just a class change. You actually are adding a job on top of your already physician.
Right.
What it is. Like, if you're a merchant, you can add I don't know the exact title names, but like the dancer position, and you can combine those aspects together. And then it even goes further. When you're in battle, you can, if you're with the other person who also possesses that skill, you can even combine certain skills for attack, like team attacks. So there's a lot it's going to really dive into. So that'll be really interesting.
It looks amazing. I think this is going to be the first real hardcore RPG on the Switch. You had Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but that's like, I didn't get like hardcore vibes from it. It's not as technical as this one seems, basically. Yeah. They tried to pitch it that way, and maybe I'm just not seeing it, but from what I've heard, the Xenoblade series, although supposedly really good, is, you know, it's a Nintendo game, so
it's an entry-level JRPG.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I don't get anything from those. If the gameplay is too simple, I don't get into it, because, you know, it's an RPG, so you only have so much gameplay anyway. And I really like games where you have to really micromanage statistics and your stats and your equipment and stuff. So that's why I like Dark Souls. That's part of what makes Dark Souls awesome, is it's all equipment based stats. So yeah, I'm excited for that. And then they have the collector's edition,
yeah, which, like a pop-up book.
Yeah, it comes with really a whole cool pop-up book with all eight characters have their own page, and it tells their backstory, whatever.
Looks really cool.
So probably not going to get that unless it's like only an extra. This is what I said to our friend Snyder the other day, is if the game, I could see this game not being a full price game because of the graphics. I think that when this is, obviously we would pay full price for it, but not everyone is like us. I picture being like seeing a kid in a store and pick it up off the shelves. I think that it's a hard sell. I can't think of any 16-bit looking games that sell on the shelf for $60. I can't think of a single one. So I picture it being a hard sell to have those pixelated graphics and be like, this is a $60 game, and expect people to just walk in the store and be like, oh, what's that? Let me look at it and buy it. So I could see this being a $40 game, and I might consider picking up the collector's edition if it's like $60 or $70, and then I get that Amazon discount where I get 10, 15 bucks.
70
off of
bucks
it.
Is where I'm at it with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it all depends on the price, but that pop-up book, you know, obviously pop-up books are a thing and they're not ridiculously expensive, but I could see them being like, well, you know, it comes with a pop-up book, so that pop-up book costs $30 to produce. Yeah. So I guess it's a wait and see for me, but the game itself is a day one purchase.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm
part of the reason why it's a day one purchase is because I get the discount. So if you get it after the day one, you don't get the discount.
If you have that Best Buy, then you can do it all the time.
Right. All right, so next thing they mentioned was, this was the big highlight of the Direct, was Mario Tennis Aces. Where you
sense a little bit of snark in your voice on that one. You're not excited about it?
That was the headliner. They spent the most time, and they even said this is going to be the focus.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great. I think when it comes to...
It's a Mario Tennis game.
Mario Tennis game. But I think it comes when it comes to sports games, like... there's not much you can really show me that's gonna like sell me on it. I need to actually play it. And they're gonna have a I think they're gonna have some kind of demo.
Yeah,
so I mean,
we're we'll in a see. Climate now where you can't charge $60 for Mario Tennis.
Yeah, that's no where, one's that's
gonna
where
buy
at.
That. No
yeah.
one's gonna buy that.
Yeah.
And you know, there's just so it's not 1995 anymore. There's such a large there's an overabundance of good games to play. You're not, you know, it's so when a parent, first of all, the only people that are going to probably pay $60, there's two people. There's the person who buys every single Nintendo game that comes out, which is a very small fraction, and then there's kids. And if, you know, kids don't have their own money, so it's their mom is in the store looking for a birthday gift or Christmas, and the kid has a list of games they want, they can only get one or two games. Are they going to get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? Are they going to get, you know, Mario Odyssey? Or are they going to get Mario Tennis, which is the same price? You know, that's where I'm at on that. So it looks fine.
Yeah, it's fine. They
did a good job at selling it.
Yeah,
this is worth.
I felt like
time.
When I was watching it, I went, you know what? It kind of looks like
I never
play.
Did that.
I did it, but I'm also one of those people who I'll get excited about something and then right afterwards go, okay, logically, am I gonna spend the money
exactly.
for this game? So that's just another game that's just gonna be in the $30 or less pile where I'm like where I'm gonna hold out if I see it on sale and. More like a Craigslist ad, I'll seek it out. But it's definitely, I agree with you, it's definitely not a $60 purchase for me.
Yeah, I just, one of my favorite games on the N64 was Mario Tennis, but it's just how many times can I play a different version of Mario Tennis? I really wish they were releasing a Mario Golf game for the Switch.
One of my friends was actually talking about they wanted a Super Mario Strikers release.
Yeah, that game's alright.
Yeah.
I mean, I played it. I bought it. But out of the sports games, easily the deepest and most fleshed out are the Mario Golf games.
Yeah, you were telling me how they have, like, story modes in the Game Boy one and all that?
Well, yeah, the Game Boy Color one is like an RPG.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have. It's been a long time since they made a home console. They haven't made one since the GameCube.
Which is funny because...
It's bizarre that they didn't use
the
motion
for the
controls
Wii.
For the Wii. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, Mario Tennis, yeah, whatever.
Okay, moving on.
Before the big topic of Smash Brothers, let's go over some of these 3DS releases. Me and you are huge WarioWare fans.
Yes.
They announced WarioWare. I'm disappointed that it's on the 3DS because I don't think that there's a better first-party Nintendo game for the Switch than WarioWare.
I think we'll get it. I think this is just a tribute to the old handheld ones because it's mixing all the old handheld ones together. It's mixing Touch together. It's mixing the Twisted and the original Game Boy Advance one. So I'm cool with it. I think it's just a giant collection. I think they're just trying to scrape as much. I think we're starting to see the end of the 3DS life cycle for sure. It's very much alive, but I definitely see... They're just like, all right, what games are going to continue to sell in this system so we can keep selling our last bit of 3DS?
Man, but just everything they announced for the 3DS was like, why? Like, a Luigi's Mansion remaster would be so great on the Switch. Like,
yeah.
You remastering a game to a system that is not really remastering it. It still looks all fucking jaggy and the screen's so small. It's like... You know, people have been asking for remasters of GameCube games on the Switch for a while now, since before the system came out. They said, all right, well, maybe we'll finally see a remaster of Sunshine, a remaster of Luigi's Mansion. And so I saw, like, basically the way that my brain went during this Direct is every time they announced something cool on the 3DS, instantly I was like, oh, man, WarioWare. And then a second later I was like, oh. So on the 3DS, though. Oh, man, sweet. They're finally remaking Luigi's Mansion. Oh, wait. No, it's on the 3DS, though. So, by the way, they're releasing Luigi's Mansion HD. Or not HD, remastered on 3DS. So, that's that. And what else did they announce? Not much for 3DS, did they? Just that Dylan's rolling
dead heat breakers.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
The sushi game is getting a release on Switch and 3DS. We didn't mention that Treasure Tracker Toad is also getting a 3DS port as well. They're going to release
it on both. Oh, yeah, that's right. Kinda neat. Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
So here's the thing about that sushi game. It's weird that I don't care about it because anyone who knows me knows that I have like a huge love for like versus puzzle games. Mm-hmm. And that's what that was. I think those games are poorly demonstrated in video. Like I could show someone could watch me play Tetris Attack for an hour, but they won't understand what the game is like until they put that controller in their hands. And I think that might be the case here. I think as soon as I play that game, I'll probably fall in love with it.
It's lukewarm for me. I just think the style just isn't interesting. So it's a very hard game to demo because the style just looks really bland. It looks very mobile game. That's my issue with it.
Yeah, for sure.
If it had more of like a poppy, like over the top, really cool looking characters, but everything just looks.
The art style is like fucking Candy Crush.
Yeah, it looks like Candy Crush to me. It looks like what's that big, like a big portable game that's big over there, the Pokemon like game that's based off a TV show.
Oh yeah, they did the 3DS release. Yeah, they did Mario that or whatever.
Of which one?
That puzzle game that they did a one with Mario. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll keep an eye on it, but it's coming to Switch, so that's where I would buy that anyway.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we're at the big finale. Oh wait, no, they noticed they mentioned all that Splatoon 2 expansion.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm really excited about that.
Splatoon in general to me is not a single player game, so I don't care about it.
I care about it. I guess because I'm a Splatoon fanboy at this point. I love the game. And I was already wanting to dump some more hours into it, so when they announced that. And the thing is, it's a big deal to people who have been fans since the beginning, because as soon as the trailer started, I was already like, oh my god, you can play as an Octoling, which I know it sounds silly to everyone else, but like you can play as an Octoling, which you could never play as them in the past, and fans have been wanting this for a long time. So as soon as the trailer started up, and I saw an Octoling walking around, I went, oh, they're doing it.
Have you beaten the single player for Splatoon 2?
Splatoon 2? I haven't even touched it yet.
And you're going to pay $20 more for more single player stuff?
Probably.
All right. That's my point, though. It's like if they released a single player expansion for like Counter-Strike Source. It's like, okay, that's not a single player game.
I mean,
that's my personal feelings on Splatoon. It's like, you know, I owned the Call of Duty games back in the day, like Call of Duty 4 when they got really popular for online play. I never played the single player. You just play that for the online. So
I like the Splatoon single player in the first one game a lot. I just haven't got around to, because as soon as the game came out, I wanted to dive right into the multiplayer. So I do plan on checking out single player, and it's actually motivated me further to go into it. I just haven't got to it yet. It's not that I don't want to, but I understand your stance.
Yeah, it's a squad based shooter game. So when they tell me it's a single player expansion, I might check it out if it was free, but it's not. So
yeah,
and I am probably the most fickle person on earth when it comes to DLC.
I usually am too, but they got me with this one.
I think the only DLC I've ever bought in my entire life was the Smash Brothers downloadable characters for Wii U.
I can't even remember the last DLC I bought. I really can't.
So, yeah.
This is the graze over real quickly before we go to Smash. We Undertale is getting the port.
Okay.
They announced that Undertale. And I think that about covers everything. And then we're back. There's going to be a Little Nightmares Complete Edition.
That game looks neat.
It looks really cool. I actually haven't really.
Have you not really heard of that?
No. I've heard the name come up before, but when I haven't seen like real footage of it before. So I do like how the Switch does like resurface indie games. It kind of does what the Vita does, where you don't really care about an indie game, and then when it comes down that system, you're like, oh, I haven't heard of this. This looks really cool.
It was on my radar when it first came out, and yeah, it looks interesting. It's not a game that I'm going to get as soon as it comes out, but if I see it in a bargain bin in a couple of years for $10 or less, I could see myself grabbing it and giving it a try. I know our friend Cody was super excited for that game and ended up... The original physical release was like... it was limited and he missed out on it, and he doesn't like digital games, and so I bet he's happy now that he missed out on it, because this is like the complete version.
And yeah, it's got all the DLC and everything.
Right. So yeah, it just kind of looks like that. It reminds me, maybe not in gameplay, but it reminds me of those like Alice games.
It's only like $20 on the PS4.
Yeah.
Oh well. But something I'll definitely look into. So I guess we want to go right into the big mic drop they did.
Yeah. New Super Smash Brothers for Switch.
How shocked are you on this news?
Not at all. I wasn't shocked. In fact, as soon as I called it out, the second that they said one more thing and then they kept showing Splatoon people, I was like, oh, okay, it's Smash Brothers. Because why else? That's how they always reveal it, is with a character like living in their own world and then the Smash characters pop up. So as soon as they just spent the last 5 minutes or so on Splatoon and then said, oh, wait, there's one more thing we have to announce, and then it cuts to more Splatoon, I'm like, okay, well, they just got everything out of the way for Splatoon and we're looking at more Splatoon characters, so clearly this is probably, they're just going to play around, you know, like they did in the trailer. They're just going to shoot around until the Smash people show up. Sure enough, that's what happened. This is being recorded several days after the Direct, so when we first saw it, everyone kind of had the question of, well, is this a new game or a port? Now that it's been a few days, it's basically been confirmed that it's a new game.
Yeah, that's what's surprising to me. Which I don't know why they didn't make a bigger deal of that. Of like,
yeah,
I guess they like just creating hype and just talking. I mean, rather just get people talking about it.
Yeah, it's just strange because I thought that I was hoping for an Animal Crossing announcement.
You're one of those. Everyone, like, I keep seeing people post about that.
I've been hoping for an Animal Crossing announcement for a while now. And some people say that, oh, well, you know, it'll probably get announced at E3. We know that it's coming. It's one of their top sellers. And it's a relatively easy game to make. So we know it's coming eventually. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, maybe it'll be announced at E3. That's weird to me because I thought this would be the E3 announcement and something like Animal Crossing will get announced today. So I was surprised that they announced Smash Brothers in a random direct in March.
Yeah.
With, you know, E3 two and a half months away. And yeah, so I'm a big Smash Brothers fan. And
who isn't?
Yeah, well, I probably played Smash Brothers more than any other game series in my entire life. I've done 100 stock, you know, battles with friends before. It just takes hours, and I have like a party every time a Smash Brothers comes out. And yeah, like last time, I think when Brawl came out, or not Brawl, but the Wii U one, I had like a 16-person tournament.
We had
like
a 3D. It's a better example. The fact that we had a 3DS day when the 3DS one came out, everyone came over and we brought our 3DSs and played it.
Oh, I've got a real good story actually of how big of a Smash Brothers fan I am. When the 3DS version of the new game came out, I was on a cruise and I got off the cruise ship and found and paid to go to an internet cafe in Mexico to download the game off of the eShop. So, yeah, you know, not even being in another country or in the middle of the ocean is going to stop me from getting my Smash. So I'm excited for it. I think that pretty much everyone thought this was going to be a port. I don't think many people, not this quickly.
Yeah. And apparently the what's the director's name?
Sakurai.
He's apparently been working on this in quiet for a long time, even though he
mm-hmm.
had a terrible experience with the Wii U version.
Yeah, it always almost kills him. It's always like this. He almost dies literally every time. I think last time he had to be brought to the hospital from overexhaustion. I think doing it in secret this time has probably helped him a lot.
Take a lot of the pressure off, for sure.
Yeah, because they make a real effort to like announce new details constantly. And I think a lot of the public demand puts a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the announcement to me that basically confirmed this was a new game, because when you port a game, you send it to a studio to port it. You know, not the studio that makes the game. It's like Dark Souls, the remaster, is not being developed by From Software. It's was sent to a studio that specializes in ports. So that's what they do, and there's zero reason for the creator of the series to have been slaving away working on this in secret. I just don't see that happening. And yeah, a lot of people say it's too soon, but it's been a few years, and Melee came out only 2 years after the first one. So, and that was the biggest jump by far. Mm. And I still think it's going to be like a, this is my theory, or maybe not theory, but this is what I think it should be. And I think this is their best bet, is I think it should basically just be like Ultimate Smash Brothers. This is the last game for like 10 years till the next generation, because this is the beginning of the system. This is the last game that they're going to make until midway through the next generation of console they make. You put every character that's ever been in a Smash Brothers, you put every stage that's ever been in a Smash Brothers, every item, and you throw in 5 to 10 new characters that aren't being represented, the Splatoon characters, you throw in maybe a Rhythm Heaven character, you know, maybe a WarioWare character, like any, cover all your bases, ARMS, obviously, anything that's not represented, put them in there, and that way you don't have people asking for them anymore, and you put literally everything that you possibly can, 5 to 10 new characters, 5 to 10 new levels, and call it a day and say you're not getting another one for like 8 to 10 years. And there, you wouldn't need another one, because they only release new IPs every so often, and also you just release some DLC. If in 2 years they make a new IP that ends up being popular, like Splatoon or ARMS, then you release a DLC for it. Maybe even a pre-order. But hey, if you pre-order this game, we'll give you a DLC code for the new character for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's one of those things where people will complain and say that the Smash 4 wasn't really that popular, but it got released on the Wii U, so this is their chance to finally really like really have a good release of Smash Brothers and really push it as hard as they possibly can. And they're not being slowed down by, it was awesome back then, I'm not complaining, but they don't have to focus on accommodating for the 3DS anymore, because that was also an issue.
Yeah, that's why they didn't have Ice Climbers, because it couldn't handle the, if you were playing 4-player, it couldn't handle 8 characters on screen.
So,
and which is still stupid, they should have just put them in the Wii U version, but whatever. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big announcement. This is really an E3 announcement. And also, here's another reason why I personally don't think it's a port, is because every port that they've released so far, they make it a point to get that out of the way immediately.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because if you announce Smash Brothers in March, and then you wait until June in E3 to be like, oh, it's a port of the Wii U version, you've now got 3 months behind you of excitement that you just, you know, shit on, basically. Yeah. Whereas if you say right out of the gate, we got a new Smash Brothers coming, it's a port of the Wii U version, there's no build of excitement to ruin when you say in E3, when you give details of release date and stuff. So you, when they announced Mario Kart 8, they didn't go, we got a new Mario Kart coming, and then wait 6 months and be like, ah, but it's just the Wii U one. Mm-hmm. They told you immediately. Same thing with Captain Toad, and all the rest of the parts.
Pokemon Tournament, everything that's been announced, it's right away.
There's been no confusion.
They're being really direct, very Nintendo direct with it.
Right, so I think it would just be a stupid, stupid move to do this teaser, and then 3 months at E3 go, ah, it's just the Wii U one. I'm excited, and this is a system seller. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's in their top three franchises as far as sales go. So you really can't go wrong with the Smash Brothers. So, you have anything else that you wanted to say?
Well, I mean, it's just going to be cool that you'll be able to pull it out and pull the Joy-Cons off and play it, because I'm sure they'll come up with ways where just the Joy-Cons are going to be just
fine.
Oh
my God, I want a GameCube set of Joy-Cons so badly. This is your opportunity, Nintendo, to rob me blind, because I will buy them. I will pre-order them. And people made some mock-ups of a GameCube set of Joy-Cons when they first announced the Switch and showed off how it worked.
Yeah.
And, man, that's the perfect way to solve the problem. Make a shitload of money and solve the problem of people being so snobby about wanting to play with the GameCube controller is, yeah, release GameCube Joy-Cons with, like, the GameCube layout.
Yeah.
And we kind of knew that because of this, we knew Smash Brothers was coming because they had an update a while back that added support for the GameCube adapter that you get with Smash Brothers. So I guess they're going to start selling that again too, probably.
Probably. They know their audience with this game at this point.
You're attached to it. It's funny because I love how much they've catered to the players, but they've backed themselves into such a terrible corner where, like, they're literally going to be making these GameCube controllers 20 years after the system came out.
Just because of Smash
and
Brothers.
And people buy them.
Yes.
People buy them. So I bought one.
It was only... it only worked on Smash Brothers, period. Mm-hmm. That was it. You couldn't use it on Mario Kart 8. Nothing.
And I bet they sold a million of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were sold out of the adapters for a long time.
I remember.
Those things were going for like $100 online.
There was waiting lists and pre-order lists to get them. And I remember like GameStop's like didn't get their full shipments of pre-orders sometimes with those. And it was a huge issue. So, yeah.
Thought you had some more topics.
I do have some more topics. All right,
let's get to it.
I actually got something in the mail recently, and this is your first time really like seeing and holding it, so I just wanted to like show it off.
Yeah.
The Retro Fighters Brawl, whatever.
Six. So for those of you that can't see, he's pulling out a N64 controller. This is a brand new, it was a Kickstarter. And it's a N64 controller, but in the style of like a Switch controller, or what else would you say? What else would you compare this to? Maybe like
just
a
like
Xbox
a modern,
360,
like a modern setup where
it's
like an Xbox, yeah, like an Xbox One controller.
So instead of that three pronged controller that they have for the N64, that either love it or hate it, it's a it's like an Xbox controller. Feels good. Like the buttons. They're big. They're nice. One thing, though, this thing feels like a cheap piece of shit. Like, I'm sure it's not, but you know when you get handed, like, an electronics, and you can immediately tell that it's a big plastic shell with a tiny little circuit board in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what this feels like. It just feels completely empty. And I'm sure that's just because, as time has gone on, you don't need a lot of circuit board for
there's no battery in there. There's
right,
no
exactly.
In there.
But that was my first instinct when I picked it up, was that it just feels really cheap. But it, as far as build quality and stuff goes, it's really nice. And
I feel those the Z triggers are really nice. I like how they push back.
Yeah, they're really springy. And of course, the analog stick is no longer just a plastic nub, it's got a rubberized grip on it. So Bowman has promised me his $10 off coupon for quite some time now.
I didn't promise it to you.
Oh, you promised it.
Well, promises can change, because which brings us to some part of the part. I think Metal Jesus Rocks was the first person to point this out.
Yeah, I
and
watched
that when you hold down the L button and move around the analog stick, it pops the L button out a bit.
It's a non-issue.
It is, and it's not. Apparently, it affects Wave Race. So I'm a huge Wave Race fan.
Right, you are. that's
they call me Wave Race Boy.
Right, they put it on your business cards. That's the first thing I tell people when they ask, well, "What's this Bowman character?" I can say, "Well, he really likes Wave Race." So,
in all seriousness, though, Retro Fighters is actually doing a really good job, like right away addressing this.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually.
So then they're replacing them for free.
Actually, yes. So there's two options. You can either get they're offering you to send the part that would fix it, and you can open the controller and fix it yourself. Or they haven't really detailed the specifics on this, but they also are letting people opt for a replacement option.
Okay.
So I don't know how that's going to work. I'm hoping how it works is maybe they'll take like a deposit down or something like that, and they can do it that way.
I don't think
I don't want to just send them the controller and
just
then
fix just, it. It's so
yeah,
easy.
I'll probably just fix the controller.
Like that's, I just got done all. Saying, it feels fucking hollow. I doubt there's much in there.
Yeah.
So you just open it up and replace the button.
So
that's it.
I know a few features about it, guys. It has the buttons have a nice matte finish. I really like how it feels. And it's got a turbo option, so you can actually make any of the buttons turbo. And then you can hit this. There's a clear button as well, so you'll clear that out. And the expansion pack in the back also lets you use a rumble pack and a memory card. The only thing that does not work, they did say they were trying to make it work, and they
the
couldn't.
Pokemon
the
thing?
Pokemon transfer patch, which that's who gives a shit.
Well,
because the thing is, you can also just plug in a different controller and have it there. It doesn't matter where controller the transfer pack is plugged into.
Right.
So you can just plug in some old controller and have the transfer pack there.
Yeah.
If you really want that feature still.
Cool.
It's a non-issue.
It's definitely something I want, and I backed it on the Kickstarter, and then I guess my credit card expired, and then when I said, hey, when did that controller come in? And I looked, and it said, your Kickstarter has been canceled because there was an issue with your card, and then now I'm not getting one.
Yeah, the Kickstarter was $20. They did also announce that they're going to go ahead and have another Kickstarter for the colored version of the controllers. They actually gave me a list here, but... So they said that the next one's going to be like $25 to $30, and anybody who backed the original one, it will have the option of backing it and getting that original price. So that's like coupon Pat's talking about. But I don't know. I've fallen in love with the controller so much, I kind of want a colored one now. So I'm hoping maybe I can just order two and get the discount on both of them so I can give Pat his controller.
He's got four hands, so he needs two controllers for himself.
It's a cool controller, and the options they're going to have. They asked all the Kickstarters what colors they would want. So out of that, they tallied the number one was purple, number two was green, followed by blue, red, and orange. So those will be the colors that they plan on creating for the new Kickstarter.
Okay.
So
I'm looking forward to my discounted controller. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, no problem. Retro Fighters will be sure to send you one.
Okay, cool.
So
is that all for you?
Well... What are we at time-wise?
Like 48 minutes, 49 minutes.
I think we should stop. But I have another topic, but I think we should
just
stop.
Just give me a topic.
I want to talk about the future.
Talk about love.
Let's talk about love. And my love of physical games. And what is the future of them? Why do we collect physical games? And what is the longevity of them? Are we going to keep seeing physical games? And just all around, the main idea is why physical games versus digital games.
Okay. So anyone that knows me knows that I have a decently extensive collection of games, ranging all the way from the NES to current gen. And for me personally, physical games... I mean, you've mentioned this before too. It's almost like a museum effect for me. There's a certain level of enjoyment I get, appreciation of pulling a game off the shelf, reading the manual, looking at the art on the box, and putting it in, playing it. It's the same thing as when you like CDs or records or whatever. So that's one aspect of it. It's just that feeling. You know, when you give someone a gift and you get more enjoyment out of their reaction than they get out of the gift. That's how I feel when someone comes into my house for the first time and they look in my game room and they see a game on the shelf that they haven't seen since they were kids, probably threw away the box and stuff, and they go, oh man, I can't believe you have this. They pull it off the shelf, they start looking at it, they go crazy. And I get more enjoyment out of that than they do, probably, because... That's, I mean, it's just the feeling of being able to pull a game off of a shelf that you had when you were a little kid, and it's still got the same text on the back, it's got the same artwork on the box, and you can touch that, look at it, read it, play it. That's where I get a lot of my enjoyment from. But even more so nowadays, you know, both of us collect games from, I wouldn't say collect because I don't get every one, but we buy games a lot from limited run games.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about limited run games, or if you don't know, basically, they are a game publisher who releases indie titles that only got digital releases, and they release them on a physical release, sometimes with a manual, give it artwork. It's all on a disc. There's no downloads required, and they only release games that are fully patched and updated, typically includes any DLC that's come out or anything like that. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that these games get off the store eventually. The system, you know, the system stops having an online shop that you can buy or download them from.
I mean, the best example I can come up with for that one is that Scott Pilgrim was only available for a very small amount of time.
Right.
Because there's a licensing issue, so that game got pulled from the store.
Yeah, and you can no longer download it.
Yeah, I have it on my system, but as soon as, if I lose my system, it's gone.
Right, and at being someone who has old games that I play, it's not that far-fetched at all to think that in 10 years, 20 years, I'm not going to be like, hey, I want to play this old PS4 game. Well, the problem with games today is that publishers and developers take it for granted that patches and stuff exist. They ship them broken. The best example of this could be the Halo Collection, which shipped completely broken. You couldn't play it until you got the patch, basically. And you know, you're thinking, well, whatever, you know, they have the patch, it's not that big a deal, it was day one. But one could argue that the definitive way to play Halo 1 through 3, or maybe even 4, I'm not sure how many are on that collection, is to play it with this collection. It's updated graphics, but they also have the option to play it in the older style graphics. And so in 20 years, Halo, one of the biggest franchises ever, if I decide in 20 years, hey, I feel like playing through the Halo series, and I pop that collection in, I'm not going to be able to play it. Nobody will be able to play it because the servers will be offline. There will be no more patch to download. So that's a big issue when it comes to game preservation, physical games. That's a big part of why I collect games. Also personally, just on a side note real quick, I've never been one to actually play downloaded games. I'll download them, but what happens is if you don't see it there sitting on the shelf, staring in the face like you spent money on this, you need to use it, then you don't end up playing it. I find myself, you know, everyone probably can relate to this at some point. You had ROMs and stuff, and I had, you know, you have a folder with 1,000 NES ROMs in it, and you don't play any of them because you're frozen in with just inconclusive, or you can't decide, indecisiveness. You can't decide on what to play because you have 1,000 games to choose from. And when it's on a shelf, it's like a book on a bookcase. You go over to the, you say, I'm going to read a book today. You go over to the bookcase and you browse through what you have and you pull it off the shelf. Same thing with a game. So that's why I collect physical games and why I like to buy them physical. And a lot of times I'll hold out on games that only get a digital release in hopes that it will eventually get a physical one.
Yeah, there's just so many hoops to go through, and like so many companies still haven't perfected digital game buying. Nintendo is like a big issue with that, and that their accounts are still not locked together. They are locked together, but it's still an issue as to how many times can you download this system on a different system. So even for just like the Switch, I don't want to buy a full game digitally and have it on my system, because first there's many reasons behind that. I have to have enough space on the memory card, and then I have to hope that Nintendo will let me download the game later on if my system breaks, which some, you know, so and all, and like there's so many different examples per system. Like if we're just going around the technical aspects, and like just I think there's just logical reasons behind it. Like my PlayStation Vita collection, I have about 45 Vita games now. I'm an idiot. And but the thing that's awesome about them is that even now while the servers are still online, I haven't bought a giant memory card for my Vita. It's too expensive.
Yeah, they really are extremely expensive.
I can just pop that game into my system and all of them are fine. I have never had any space issues with my Vita whatsoever, and I only have an 8 gig memory stick for my Vita, which is not big by Vita memory stick. It's not a big one for a Vita system. So I can go through all those games and right away pop in them, and they're going to work. It's not going to be an issue. When I go on a trip, I don't have to sit there and go, all right, how many games do I need to download? I can just be like, oh, these are the ones on my shelf. I'm taking these, throw them in my bag, and these are going to play. And yeah, so I think there's always a lot of technical aspects of it. I get teased a lot, and I think it's just because most people don't think about their money as much as Pat and I do. We're very frugal people. We like to get the most bang for our buck, and I think that's what physical is. Like, you can get physical games for discounts easily because you can buy them. You can't buy a digital game secondhand from somebody.
Right.
Physically, you can. You can contact someone who didn't play the game, got bored of it. They don't care anymore. It's not worth to them the full price anymore, so you can get it like half off.
Digital games only go on sale temporarily. When a physical game drops in price, it's permanent.
Exactly.
So if a store decides this game is only worth $30 now, they're never going to raise it back up to $60. Whereas on the PlayStation Store, the game is always $60, and then every once in a while it'll drop down on a sale or something to $30. But and that's another thing that really bothers me too.
It's an issue. It's insulting.
Yeah, like, that's another thing that really bothers me too is that a digital version that didn't cost them any money to produce is the same cost as the game that has a box, a manual, a disc, had to be shipped to the store, and you have to pay employees to stock them and stuff. So it's there's all these costs to physical games, and it's like, well, why the fuck are you trying to charge me $60 for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? That's just a download file that doesn't cost you anything to send to me, whereas it's the same price in the store, and it comes with a box, comes with a game, and in 10 years or 20 years, I can just pop it in the system and play it and not have to worry about whether I have, you know, enough space or whether it's still on the shop even.
I think that's more of a political reason, just because of they want to keep good relations with retailers because they want retailers to distribute to have their games on the shelves.
That's part of it.
I think retailers would feel slighted if there's no reason for people to come in their store.
But there's also it's a lot of it is financial too, because there's a reason why Nintendo gives you four times as many reward points for buying digital than physical.
Yeah.
And that's because they make way more money on digital games.
Yeah.
So, and that's because they don't have to pay all those costs. I think, unfortunately, we're at a place now where digital is starting to outweigh physical sales, and for no reason other than convenience. So there's no bargaining chip there. But I think back in the day, if it didn't pick up, what I would have liked to see is them, eventually lower the prices of digital games. Although that's a whole topic for another day, because you're getting into, well, should games still be $60 even still, because it's never the price hasn't changed at all. The scope of the games have gotten massive, and inflation has lowered the value of the dollar. So that's a topic for another day, because there is a lot to be said about the true cost of game development.
We'll revisit that one for sure, because I'm already thinking of a lot to say about that.
Yep. So on that note, it's time to say goodbye. So thank you again for listening to the second episode of the Game Boys podcast. We'll be back again the same day next week. And my name is Pat, and you can reach me, follow me on Twitter at Project Pat with a K 88. So Project Pat 88. Project has a K in it.
Okay. I'm Bowman. I'm also on the podcast. My Twitter is at Bowman Says. So if you want to give me a tweet or a shit post, I welcome it. So,
all right. And on that note, we'll see you next week.